Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. This is an interesting month, you know, exploration of imagination. You know, and today's talk is, you're going where? You're going where? Doesn't it sound like a mom question? I mean, it sounded like a mom question to me. It reminded me of my mom. There was always those, I mean, with my mom, there was always those questions, right? Where do you think you're going? You're going where? You're going where? Who's going with you? Who's going to be there? Do I know them? Do I know their parents? Are their parents going to be there? There was all these questions. Oh, and you're going to go dressed like that? Oh, my God. You think you're going to go like that? But, Mom, everybody's going. We're going to hitchhike up the New York Thruway, and there's this little rock concert called Woodstock. But everybody's going, Mom. If everybody jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge, would you go? God, I was raised on Staten Island. Do you know how many bridges we had? I mean, really. The Goethals Bridge, the Outer Bridge, the Bayonne Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, the Washington Bridge. Any number of bridges my friends were all jumping off of, apparently, would I follow? Oh, my God. She graduated from the New York Mom School. I think everybody did. I don't know. But I do know I got very creative in answering. But we're going to the library. We're going to study for the final. No. You know, where are you going? That was the question always. Where are you going? Who are you going with? And now here we are. We're adults. And now we get to mom ourselves. Right. So however that momming happened for you in your youth, it's in your past. Whether it was a helicopter mom or an absentee mom or no, you know, or a dad as a mom or whatever. We are here now to parent ourselves. And so how often do we ask that question of ourselves? Where are we going? Where are we going? Do we make plans? Do we have specific plans? Do we set intentions of our lives? Do we embrace this big picture and absolutely know the truth for ourselves? Or do we just deal with stuff when it comes up? Right? We just deal with stuff from day to day. We slog through and handle whatever comes up in that day because it's just popped up in front of us. Do we keep putting out fires? Do we keep handling complications? Do we keep handling problems in our lives? You know, if we're not committed to an intention and calling in that universal energy of that to fulfill that intention, how can we allow the universe to conspire in our favor? How can we do that? How can divine mind bring into fulfillment if we have not committed in our own minds to that picture, to that destiny, to that thing? You know, the love and the law, Ernest Holmes said, love points the way, the law makes the way possible. This is the way the world responds to us and unfolds before us. The spirit can only work for us by working through us. That's what Ernest Holmes said. If we don't know what we intend, what flows into manifestation is some conglomeration, isn't it? Of our fears and our doubts and our hopes and our suspicions, our worries, all mashed together as some outpicturing of our life. Because here's the thing, it's always working. It's always working, it's always worked. We have always been outpicturing our lives according to our predominant thoughts. We just don't know what those thoughts were. We're just having a clue. But it's always working. And so what manifests then is the result of our confusion. If we're not clear about what our intentions are, right? Seneca, there's that great phrase from Seneca. If one does not know to which port one is sailing, no wind is a favorable wind. Right? We don't know where we're going. How are we going to get there? If we're not standing in our conviction, in the conviction of our intentions, then human race consciousness just does its thinking through us. And human race consciousness doesn't always have our best intentions, you know? It just is what it is. It's like, oh, my God, ain't it awful? And it's the water cooler talk, and it's the bad economy talk, and it's the nobody has a job talk, you know? That's human race consciousness a lot of times. It's the 6 o'clock news. And that may not be what we want to manifest in our lives. So the first thing we have to do is we have to identify what it is we intend to manifest. We need to know what we want. The first thing to do is to identify, right? So pray. Pray for clarity. But if you're praying for clarity, you might want to rethink that. You know, a lot of times when we say we're praying for clarity, we're really not. We're just praying for that second opinion. That's all we're looking for. We're just praying for confirmation of what we already want. We're just praying for permission, actually, aren't we? When we say we're praying for clarity. But to be honest with ourselves, we're just looking for that confirmation. You know, there's a book called Ruthless Trust by Brendan Manning, and he tells the story of Mother Teresa. John Cavanaugh, a great writer, was visiting Mother Teresa while she was working, and he was seeking clarity from God. I love this. And so he went to her for advice, and she asked him, well, what can I do for you? And he said, pray that I have clarity. And Mother Teresa said firmly, oh no, I will not do that. And he was surprised by her answer, and she explained, clarity is the last thing you are clinging to and must be let go of. Clarity is the last thing you are clinging to and must be let go of. Taking back a little bit, he said, but wait a minute, but you seem to have clarity from God. And she said, oh no, I've never had clarity, but what I've always had is trust. So I will pray trust. I will pray trust. And so when I'm tempted to pray for clarity, right, because I don't know what I'm doing, you know, I don't know what the decision is. We know, in our hearts, we know. There is that secret longing. We're just not letting ourselves know. We're not saying it out loud. But when I'm tempted to pray for clarity, what I really need to do is ask myself the bigger question. What do I want more than clarity? What do I want more than clarity? Because sometimes what I'm looking for is proof that I have the right answer, right? That's really what we're looking for when we say that we're praying for clarity, is that we're looking for confirmation that we have the right answer. I want skywriting, you know? I want, yes, go that way. I want to hedge my bets with God that I'm on the right path. That's really what I'm looking for, isn't it, when I'm looking for clarity. It means I have temporarily forgotten the truth that all things work together for my best good. I've forgotten that. And in Romans 28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. We know this. So when we're looking for clarity, really, we have forgotten. We've forgotten. We want reassurance that it all works out. It's like, that's why I read the end of the book when I get like halfway through it. I have to read the end of the book to make sure it came out good before I invest any more time in it, right? We want to know that we're on the right track. We want to know we're doing the right thing. We want to know that path leads to my happiness. We want reassurance that it all works out. First, but what happens first is conviction. We need to have the conviction that it does. In Richer Living, Ernest Holmes said this. He said, to be effective, prayer must be affirmative. But it's not enough to merely affirm the presence of God. We must add to this realization the thought that divine intelligence is acting in and through us now. Prayer is not wishful or wistful wishing, nor is it an escape from objective reality. To be lost merely in our prayers might terminate in an unconscious desire to escape the activities of life. Therefore, we affirm divine intelligence not only knows what to do, but impels us to act on this knowing. So we know that we know. We have that secret longing in our heart. We know what we've come here to do. We know what we've come here to be. We're sometimes afraid to say it out loud because maybe we think it's too big. It's too big for us. But what that quote says is that Spirit is acting through us, so we don't have to worry about being not big enough. Spirit's doing it for us, through us, as us. We must be convinced first in our consciousness. And that means whatever it means. But we must be convinced first in our consciousness. And then it outpictures. Reverend Linda Finley said this one time on the minister's listserv. I loved it. She said, until you change your consciousness, it does not matter what you do, because nothing you do will work or have lasting effect. Once you change your consciousness, it does not matter what you do, because anything you do will work. Anything you do will work. So that means maybe there are specific actions we have to take after prayer. Maybe speaking our word into the law is the only action you do in that moment. You know, there's a story that Reverend Bill Hornaday tells in his book, The Inner Light. We have that book in the bookstore, The Inner Light. Bill Hornaday and Mike Harlan Ware, I think. Anyway, it's a great story. The book is called The Inner Light, Reflections from the Life of Dr. Ernest Holmes. And he recalls walking around the neighborhood. They used to have an evening constitutional, and they'd walk around where the Institute was on 6th in Los Angeles while the Founders Church was being built. So they would walk around the neighborhood, and they stopped at this house. He said it was a particularly shabby house. It stood out from the rest of the neighborhood where everything was pride of ownership. It was a real shabby-looking house. And Ernest Holmes stopped and said, we'll have to work on this. And he stopped, and he prayed the house. He just prayed the house that it's being loved and cared for, and it's valuable, and the people who live in it were you know, in love with it, and all's well, and then he said, and so it is, and off he went. Well, 2 weeks went by, and William Hornaday used to go by the house, and he saw no change, no apparent change, and he said to Ernest Holmes, you know, you better pray again for that house. Nothing's changed. And Ernest Holmes said, there's no need to do anything for that house anymore. It's already in action. It's done. We affirmed it. Don't you understand? And Bill Hornaday continued to walk by the house and walk by the house. Well, about a month later, all of a sudden, there's workmen swarming all over it. And they're tearing the shingles off the roof, and they're putting new roofing on, and they're painting the siding of the house, and they're repairing it. And so Reverend Hornaday said, what, is this a coincidence? Coincidence with a capital C? Is it a coincidence? There are demonstrations and demonstrations and demonstrations of the manifestations of Dr. Ernest Holmes in that book. Too many to count. Too many to count, where he speaks his word, he's absolutely convinced, there's not a doubt in his mind, and things shift in the physical world. They just shift in the physical world. And here we are watching and reading and looking at all these miracle manifestations, and we are like the monks in the Middle Ages, are we not? I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Right? Help thou mine unbelief. There are demonstrations and demonstrations throughout the book and throughout his life. When they were first building Founders Church, there was a gardener right in the middle of one of their meetings. A gardener came to remove a little dead tree out of the meditation garden in the middle of Founders. And Ernest Holmes got up from the meeting and just walked out. And he said to the gardener, whoa, slow down, what are you doing? And the gardener said, well, I'm taking this one tree. They had planted three trees in a row, and the middle one was just dying. It was just little and brown. And the gardener said, well, I'm removing it. It's dying. And so Ernest Holmes said, not so fast. And he went over to the little tree, and he sat down next to the little dying tree, the little brown tree, and he said, how will you ever find a better spot to grow than a meditation garden? You're loved here. You'll be okay. It's all good, you know? And then he got up, and he said to the gardener, it's all right. It's handled. Done. And the tree thrived. And when Bill Hornaday wrote that book, The Inner Light, it was 4 years after Ernest Holmes passed and 5 years after Founders Church was dedicated. And you know what? That tree, he said, was thriving. He said it was the biggest one in the meditation garden. And, you know, I'd like to think it's still there. I don't know. I haven't been up to Founders, but I would like to think it's still there. You know, sometimes the things we are called to do is to just know the truth. Just know the truth like that. He didn't do anything in the physical world but know the truth. He didn't do anything for that house but know the truth. He didn't get his ladder up and his paint out and start helping. He didn't do anything for the tree other than know the truth, right? He didn't get his miracle grow and all, you know, any of that stuff. He just knew the truth. Sometimes the truth is just demonstrated through us by knowing. Sometimes there is action for us to take in the physical world, but always, always the action of thought. That energy is no different from the energy of movement or the energy of heat or the energy of light or the energy of shoveling. It's all the same energy. Sometimes the energy of knowing is all we need. Ernest Holmes said this, through affirmative thinking, you're able to clear your mind of negative thoughts, fears, and doubts. This you must come to do if you are to become the awareness of the presence of peace and love and harmony. But you cannot experience it while you deny it. The key to right thinking and right living is the steady, affirmative pattern of thought that only the good of God enters your life. Only the good of God enters your life. And how many of us do that whole ping pong game, right? Do you do the table tennis game? It's good, I worry, it's good, I worry, it's good, I worry. We go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And Ernest Holmes is saying, only the good of God enters your mind. The spiritual path that we're walking is one of light and love and affirmative thought, and it has no room for doubt or fear or negativity. And we can talk all day long about all of the demonstrations we've witnessed, because demonstrations abound by people who stand in their convictions, and they absolutely refuse to entertain the fear and the doubt. They stand in the truth of their convictions, and they do not consider anything other than good. And then they release the outcome, right? Don't you do that? Then you release the attachment to outcome. We leave the how up to spirit. We know where we're headed. You keep that goal in mind. We know where we're headed. How we get there? The long and windy road. Sometimes we take the scenic route. Sometimes we pull over, right, to the view, the little overlooks. Sometimes we take our time, but we know where we are headed. We have to have our heart and our head united with that affirmation, with that conviction of this is what's doing. And you know, sometimes that's all it takes. Like Ernest Holmes with the house or Ernest Holmes with the tree. Sometimes it just takes knowing. And the world reorders itself around us and we do nothing but observe it. Sometimes there's nothing for us to do in the condition. But Ernest Holmes said this in Richer Living. He said, infinite mind is forever in action, producing good. The action is the activity of man. And that activity can be physical action in the manifest world, or it can be mental action. It may be thought action. Sometimes thought energy alone transforms the condition. Sometimes we have to treat and move our feet, right? Sometimes we have to treat and then just go about our business until the shift occurs. And then we see the shift happening outside of ourselves. And we're like, oh my God, look, it worked. Yeah, it works all the time. It works all the time. But we have to be committed to that. Either way, we have to decide where we're going. We have to have that commitment to set that powerful intention to absolutely know what good we are bringing to the world. And then how that happens, I have no idea. But we need to know when we set our sails what the destination is, what the plan is, what the goal is, and then leave the how up to spirit. But we're the ones that have to set the sails. We're the ones that have to use the rudder and set the direction, right? And then things will come up and we'll handle them, but we still have the goal in mind. Yogi Berra said, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else.
Okay.
We have to know where we're going. We have to have that intention. We have to know where we're going. We have to know the outcome. We have to release our attachment to how that's going to work. So many times things have shown up that I've prayed and it's sort of like, I couldn't have planned that. I couldn't have written that. I wouldn't have been able to make it up. But demonstrations occur, don't they? Demonstrations occur in our lives when we're really clear about our desires. So we pray, we get really clear about our intentions, and then we let it go. Just like Ernest Holmes let go of the house and let go of the tree. We let it go, and then we trust. Like Mother Teresa said, we trust. We don't have to pray for clarity. We have to know that we live in a universe that supports us, that has our back. Never doubt. Trust spirit, never doubt. Know where you're going. And do not fall into the habit of entertaining anything less than your desire. You know, you always hear that, you know, well, what are you planning? Oh, well, I'm planning, oh, well, you know, except if this happens, or then, you know. We get that trying to hedge our bet thing, you know. Yeah, but if it doesn't work out, I'll just get the fallback thing, you know. Do not fall into the habit of entertaining anything less than your desire. And the universe has to reflect that back. It has to. Love points the way. That is your desire. Love points the way. That is your desire. Law makes the way possible. That is the infallible and impersonal responsibility of spirit to alter the conditions around us temporarily so that we can manifest that desire. Ernest Holmes said this in Think Your Troubles Away. All we have to do is state our desire. State our desire. Believe it and let it alone. The hardest thing anyone has to do is to learn to trust the universe. We might say it should be the easiest thing to do, but it's not. We like to dabble with our request, pull our prayer back, give our spiritual mind treatment, and then steal it back to see if it's taken root, right? In the last analysis, he says, one must convince himself that he is in league with the only power there is. He is in league with the only power that there is. We are in league with the only power there is. So you must ask yourself, or the mom in you must ask you, where are you going? Where are you going? Thank you so much.